Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom. And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burnline Podcast, coming to you not live from the hot box, the smoky back room where deals were struck and fortunes were made adjacent to the Phoenix Room, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Tobacco on Main Street, Westminster, Maryland, USA. I'm Johnny Midas.
And I'm Ofumo.
And we smoke cigars.
We do.
Today, we are smoking the Red Anchor. This may be a cigar you've never heard of, and, well, by the end of this show, you'll have fucking heard of it. So, what do we got for you today?
This guy.
The Red Anchor Captain 5x50. I'm going to talk a little bit about this cigar once we get to smoking it.
You had me all excited. You said the Admiral earlier today.
The Admiral's the Gordo.
I know. I was like, yes!
So they got the Admiral, they've got the Captain. For special events, they have the Cooper. Something. Basically,
the Commodore.
They're all named after seamen. Mm-hmm. So these are seamen cigars.
Yeah, seamen ranks. And...
Yeah, definitely. So, looking at the cigar before we dip in, the cellophane actually significantly detracts from the cigar.
Yes,
this is a gorgeous wrapper, Rosado. It's just beautiful. It's semi-rustic. It's got... pretty decent veinage. Look how they cross over like that.
Yep.
You know, some modeling, slight bruising on the wrapper. It's kind of cool. We'll tell you
what the cigar is.
We'll tell you what's in it, all of that. But first, we got to smoke it because it's a fucking cigar podcast. And,
oh, wait, we don't eat these?
No, we don't. I'm going to cut with this brand new Paleo Burlwood cutter. Check that out. Gift from a friend literally today. I'm about to find out how this motherfucker works. And you've got the old standby, Craftsman's Bench. That's a Newman product, isn't it?
Yeah.
Distributed by Newman, yeah. Newman. All right. It is time for the official cutting brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. Featuring proprietary blends available nowhere else, Lord Baltimore Distributors are meticulously crafted boutique cigars made in small batches for every palate. Lord Baltimore Distributors, when only the best will do. And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority. No limp-wristed cutting allowed. Burn Line Podcast. And we're going to proceed to the nice, gentle hand job. If you're an audio-only listener, don't jump to any fucking conclusions. We're just tapping the cigar out.
I try his method.
Dude, you're fucking... That's too violent, dude.
I know.
It's too... No. It's you. It's totally fucking you.
I know. I didn't even do anything to it yet. Oh, I was just trying out Ethan's...
This guy.
I was trying out Ethan's method.
No, Ethan doesn't tap it... He doesn't smack it like fucking Babe Ruth playing baseball. Jesus H. Christ on a pogo stick.
Yeah, that's what we get.
No, actually, what he does is this.
Oh. But you're facing up, so...
I kind of agree. Like, that doesn't... All right, well, I got a little bit out, but it's out now.
I did get it out, yeah.
Yeah.
Ethan, he says your method is shit.
No, he didn't. He loved it. All right, I'm going to light up with my ST DuPont. Flat flame, double flame. Gold-plated Johnny Midas lighter.
You got
your poverty lighter?
Yeah, dude, I can't get that ST DuPont to light.
Well, I think it comes with an instruction manual.
I didn't have one.
Did you try that?
I'll look at the box. I didn't see one.
Well, that was kind of a setup, because the punchline is like, I'm a dude.
We don't read
the instructions.
Right.
No worries, man. Vertigo works just fine. And anyway.
Well, I'm bummed out, because I wanted to boost
it
up.
Yeah, be cool. Yeah. All right, it's time for the official lighting, brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. Featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world, 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of Premium Coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us. And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor. Did you see the new DuPont lighter?
Yeah. Which one out of the fucking hundreds of them that they pumped out in the past?
No, not the style. The actual lighter itself is new. It's a soft flame. Yeah, it's a soft flame that gets that's powered by a torch, but you can't see the torch. It's like inside the housing or whatever.
Oh, that looks,
so you can't blow it out. Hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like, it reminds me of my Rocky Patel, except on the Rocky, the jet is exposed, which I actually like, because sometimes I want a jet.
Yeah, honestly, I thought about it, that soft flame doesn't do dick for you on the Rocky.
Because the lid gets in the way.
Yeah, and the jet's just...
Like, if you open it up and turn it so the lid is down, mm-hmm. and the flame goes up this way and the jet's going that way, you can use the soft flame. Mm. That's kind of it. You could sort of pull it into your pipe. All right, so we are smoking the Red Anchor since 1772. And we're smoking this for a couple of reasons. You know, one of which is I have met so many people that have never heard of this fucking cigar.
Mm-hmm. Me included.
Yeah, El Fumo included. And I thought, you know what? Let's share it on the show. So, first of all, the cigar is the Red Anchor. This Vitola is called the Captain. It's 5x50. They've got a Commodore, a fucking rear gunner, I don't know, whatever the
Admiral,
fuck.
Admiral, rear end.
now, you know how I am with branding. It's fine, but shut the fuck up. You know, like, just use standard Vitolas. That's, you know, 2 points for communists with the, number two, number four, whatever that they got going on. At least you know what you're getting. But in any case... the MSRP for this 5x50, Captain, is $20.
Ooh.
It's a little steep. This is a super premium cigar. At least it's positioned that way. And what is it exactly? Ecuadorian Habano 2000 wrapper. A gorgeous, gorgeous hue. Dominican Monte Plata binder with filler including Dominican San Vicente, Habano 92, and Pennsylvania Broadleaf.
Ooh.
So, and by the way, all of these are kind of expensive tobaccos that are listed. I'm sure there's more than just that in the stick. We're going to tell you a little bit about the cigar. But before we do, we've got it lit up. We're more than an eighth of an inch in. Any accidental scorching has been appropriately burned off. And it's time for some tasting notes. So, El Fumo, what are you tasting?
I'm getting a little bit of a licorice and then like a wood component in the back of that.
Interesting.
Especially in like mid-nostril.
Okay, so the wood is definitely there. For me, it's cedar, but it's not like strong cedar.
See, that's what I was thinking, but I was like, cedar just feels too generic all the time, you know?
No, I mean, it's cedar. It's just not like that strong, wet cedar.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me more of like a cedar cabinet that's been sitting in your kitchen for 40 years. You know, it's old and dry. And just, you got to get up real close to it, you know? The licorice is interesting. I don't think I'm there, but I can see what you're talking about. If you lift your tongue and draw the air over the tip while it's in the middle of your mouth, there is something like that there. I have got predominantly cedar, and I don't know how else to say it except tobacco, but it's definitely sweet cigar tobacco. You know, not infused, not sugary, but, you know, sweet cigar tobacco. Yeah.
It's hard to describe that. What a difference between like a sugary sweet and a natural sweet.
And there's like some hay.
Sweet hay.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. What I will say is that the flavors are sort of like delicate and refined. and also pronounced. Like, this is a flavorful cigar. They're just not strong flavors. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I'm getting a little bit of is just regular black pepper.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mostly on the retro. There's not too much lingering, like, on the palate. But I'll be honest with you, this does kind of taste like a luxury cigar. Right?
You know what's funny? I don't get much flavor in the mouth. It's all retro.
Oh, really? I'm kind of the opposite.
Really?
I get all the flavor on my mouth palate. When I retro, I just get an added burst of pepper.
Yeah, I'm, like, literally swirling the smoke around in my mouth and doing all the things to get the... I can't get anything.
I'm the exact opposite. That's so weird. Yeah, I'm tasting it all. I mean, you know, so everybody knows if you studied it. I mean, not everybody knows, but if you know what you're talking about, you know that the oxygen and the air movement is what creates most of the flavors, right? If you just hold the smoke in your mouth, it doesn't taste the same as drawing a little air in with it, swirling the smoke around or whatever. That's true of, like, alcohols as well, right? Yeah. Liquors and wines and stuff. So, for strength, I think I'm at a 5 right now.
I'm at 4.5.
4.5?
Yeah.
It does feel like the kind of cigar that could break strong. Like, it's sort of mellow and smooth and aged. But also, like, the flavor's pretty there.
Yeah.
It feels like that kind of cigar. Like, if it said it had Nicaraguan and I'd be like, oh shit, it's coming, you know, 4/5 away into the cigar.
Yeah.
It does have Pennsylvania broadleaf. It could kick us in the back of the head.
It's pretty unique. Like, it's not like most other cigars. You know what it reminds me of? Not because of the same flavor, but because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Parallel del Mar. You know how they're very different?
Oh yes, this is a unique blend. One of the reasons I wanted to have it on the show is I can think of some adjacent cigars, like flavor adjacent, but it is kind of unique.
Yeah.
And I will tell you what I think it tastes like after we get done talking about the cigar.
So can I say one more, or should I just wait till later?
Why don't we wait for now? So okay. we got some tasting notes, we've got some strength notes, and if you guys are smoking along, that'll get you started. If you're not smoking along, pick one of these up later. And maybe re-listen to the show and tell us what you think about it.
I just got one more flavor.
Yeah, what you got?
So, a walnut.
Okay.
Not the nut, but the shell.
Walnut shell. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. And speaking of which, flavor. We talk about simple, mid, and complex. Complex is the flavor changer. Mm-hmm. Mid, it is more than one or two flavors. Sometimes they drop off, or maybe one picks up. But it's not really changing flavors. And then you have simple. And by the way, some of the most famous and enjoyed cigars on the planet are simple. It's not a bad thing, but it's one or two flavors all the way through. I think Padrón is famous for this.
Yeah.
Right? And Fuente. Right? A lot of Fuente sticks is one or two notes all the way through. And yeah, that's hard to do, by the way. So don't think that a simple flavor is not good or anything. That is not true at all. It's just a way of classifying the flavor. Now, for this cigar with the pre-show smoke, and I smoked a couple actually this time, I picked it as mid. It's not a flavor changer, but the flavor does dance around a little bit. A couple of things come in and drop out. Your mileage may vary. Let us know. So, what about Red Anchor? So, first of all, the Red Anchor brand was first established in 1772. Now, what's special about that year?
It is 4 years before the American Revolution.
Correct. Freedom had not been invented yet.
French Indian War was that year.
Delft Holland. And Red Anchor holds the distinction of being the world's oldest cigar brands. This is off the website, by the way. For centuries, it remained dormant. Now, hold on just a fucking minute.
That's an asterisk.
No, hold on. 1772 was only 250 years ago. Mm-hmm. So if it was dormant for centuries, that would be dormant for 200 of the 250 years. The math ain't mathin' for me.
Nope.
So I think they got that one wrong. But in any case, it remained dormant until United Cigars acquired the brand and brought it back to life for its 250th anniversary. To honor its legacy, United partnered with the renowned Kellner family, cigar masters with roots in Holland and deep expertise in the Dominican Republic. Together, they've crafted a blend that reflects the brand's rich history while introducing a new era of craftsmanship. So that is the copy right off of the webpage for Red Anchor, and we're going to dig into that a little bit here. So let's break that down a bit. So Red Anchor, up until that point, you got cigars in bundles, and like you'd go to the whatever general store, whatever they called it, and you know, they would have a cigar or two or bundle on the counter, and you'd be like, how much for one of those? And they'd be like, five for a penny or whatever. There was no brand. A lot of stuff didn't have a brand. You know, there was no, I want an Ames shovel. No, it's a shovel, you know? And it might have been made by Bob, you know? Or,
shout out to Bob.
Yeah, shout out to Bob. Anyway, basically, this Holland company said, we're going to put a brand on our, people are going to ask for it. I want the Red Anchor cigar, So anyway, that's how the brand got started. Now, United Cigars began as a U.S.-based cigar store chain in 1901. So we're coming up on 1 1/4 centuries of United Cigars. That is pretty good. It's a decent stick.
It is a pretty good stick. I've enjoyed it.
They would grow to 3,000 shops. Right. United Cigar eventually became part of the corporation that bought Marvel Comics in 1968. So that's a weird twist.
Who did buy Marvel Comics in 1968?
I have no idea. Now here's where it gets cool. I think it was in the 90s. I can't remember. It might have been in the 2000s, but not that long ago, David Garofalo acquired United Cigars brand. So Dave Garofalo runs Two Guys Smoke Shop up in Salem, New Hampshire. They're kind of like, at least on the East Coast or the Northeast of New England, they're like the cigar capital of New England. They have the Cigar Authority podcast, which is like the oldest cigar podcast, or at least the oldest is still around. The New England Cigar Expo. They're just doing really cool shit in the industry.
Which it's like when, as a novice smoker or a casual smoker, you're like, what's with the cigar gravity in New Hampshire? Well, it's these two guys.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's like, when you look online, there's like always something happening in New Hampshire. Like, there's, who lives there? Like, two guys. Yeah. Two guys live there.
Yeah, it's like, nobody ever heard of New Hampshire except for in the cigar world. Yeah, population 3, and they all work at Two Guys Smoke Shop.
Yeah.
Sorry, New Hampshire. We love you. Anyway, so basically, United Cigar has become a distribution arm. And probably, you know, the feather in their cap is they distribute Nelson Alfonso's selected tobacco, right? So, decent-sized player. And the company works directly with factories and has developed its own brands. Now, Garofalo is the cigar nerd of cigar nerds, right? And he was able to secure the rights to the brand known as Red Anchor for United Cigar. So basically, Red Anchor, you know, was based out of Holland and was first registered as a trademark for a cigar shop in 1770, and then their unique cigar in 1772. First cigar to have its own brand, right? So by 1937, the company was out of business, and in 2022, Red Anchor was relaunched with one size. I think it was the Admiral. And now they have four new sizes. There's one, I think it's called the Cooper or something like that, but there's one that's like a 4.5 by 48 or something.
Yeah, I can pull it over.
It sounds cool. Like, that's right in my wheelhouse. You know I love those fucking small cigars.
Pun.
So, United Cigars works directly with factories to produce some of its own cigars, and to produce the Red Anchor, United tapped Hendrik Kellner Jr., who's, you know, his dad is Henke Kellner of Davidoff. So, like, for the last decade, Hendrik Kellner has operated his own factory, the KBF, Kellner Boutique Factory, which is a truly boutique factory, small production, limited tobaccos, priced between $15 and $30 MSRP. Red Anchor is being distributed as a super premium brand, something the Kellner family is quite familiar with, and given the Dutch heritage of the Kellner family, it's, like, appropriate for Red Anchor. So that is the backstory on the cigar we're smoking, and I thought everybody would like to hear it because, you know, we're on this little boutique kick for a little bit, you know, and this is the third boutique in a row we've smoked.
Yeah, and you're right, it's 4.5 by 43, the Cooper event only, not for purchase.
This is only available at events, which really honks me off because I would totally buy the shit. I'd buy like 2 boxes of those.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like your size.
Now, here's where I'm going to tie it all together when we were talking about the flavor. The cigars that are sort of flavor adjacent to this that I'm thinking of are actually Davidoff products.
Okay.
This does remind me of a Davidoff cigar. So I'm not surprised, right, that it's a Kellner cigar.
So the one this one reminds me of is, like I said, the PDM.
It doesn't remind me of the PDM. Only in the fact that it's unique.
That's what I'm saying. Like that, and then El Final. El Final is kind of unique as well.
Yeah, I don't think I'm on board with that. No. Like, because the flavor is so different from both of those.
Yeah, but I'm not saying they're flavor adjacent. They're just, like, they're in that wheelhouse.
of being
unique.
Like, different. No, yeah. But a lot of the perfume on the tobacco and the sweet natural tobacco flavor just reminds me of Davidoff products.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I can't chime in because I think the only thing I've ever smoked is the Churchill.
Which we smoked on the show.
Yeah. And not the for the novice smokers, not the Vitola, but the actual Churchill line from Davidoff.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, so Churchill is a Vitola. The Davidoff Churchill is a cigar.
And a Vitola.
And it is available in the Churchill Vitola.
So it's like, fuck.
I'm smoking the Davidoff Churchill.
Yeah.
But all right, it's time for socials and surprises. You are our marketing plan. If you think that we add value to the cigar smoking hobby, please like, share, subscribe. Reach out to us, burnlinepodcast@gmail.com, or just go to the show notes down below and click the handy link tree, or you can click contact us. We want to make this your show, the ultimate consumer cigar podcast. We don't work for the industry. We don't work for a shop or anything else, which allows us to give our unvarnished experience with the understanding your mileage may vary. Everybody's palate is different, and ours is probably superior. That's why you listen to this show.
If you want to pay us, go ahead.
Not accepting bribes. Email of the week. Bruce writes to burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Love the show and the consistency. I especially like your emphasis on the common cigar smoker. Question. I find myself drawn to less expensive cigars for my everyday smoke, and when I do try something special, I am often not impressed. I guess you could say I'm like that guy that tries fancy beer, but ends up reverting back to Bud Light. IATH. Which, that means am I the asshole, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like a thing nowadays. Kids are using online. So, Bruce, no, you're not the asshole. What you are is a consumer. And we'll say this a lot on this show. We do a lot of homework, you know, so you guys don't have to. And you can avoid cigars like the Partagas Anonymous, because we already suffered through it for you. That joke's never going to die. If you like, you know, low-end cigars or what have you, then fucking smoke them. You know, it's for your enjoyment. Now, in terms of, you know, not appreciating premium cigars or what have you, super premiums like this Red Anchor, well, I mean, Some people don't. I wouldn't let that get you down or feel bad about it. Your palate is your palate. And hey, if you can enjoy the cigar experience for less than I can, more power to you, dude.
Absolutely. Like,
grab that and run with it. So one of the things that I think, you know, is important to call out is our job is to assess cigars and share that with you to you know, maybe help you out, maybe save you a few bucks, right. Something like that. Maybe you would like to listen to somebody else smoke a $300 cigar but don't want to pay for it.
Right.
Cool. Or maybe would, depending on how we rank it. Cool. Yeah. Right. If you,
enjoy your
Charter Oak or something like that, fucking smoke it. Good for you, dude.
Just something that we discussed many episodes ago. Don't be this archetype where you're a snob and you're like, I only smoke Padrones because Padrone are the best. Or don't be that guy. I only smoke
Quorums. Unless you really think that.
Yeah.
You know?
And I only smoke Quorums because Quorums are the best. They're only $2. I'm like, eh.
Yeah, it's like if you're getting Cigar Aficionado and you're buying the top 10 list to say, hey, I'm smoking good cigars, nothing wrong with that, but you have your own palate, right? Mm-hmm. And so, Bruce, the fact that you know your palate, fucking run with it.
Let's go.
No, we're here to judge cigars. That's our job, but we're not here to judge you and your palate and taste. He said, silently judging Bruce for smoking cheap cigars. Go for it, dude. Just run with it.
Yeah.
New subs, Insta, shout out to Sassy Chick 0303, 17 GSC 7. Al Cigar Lover, VLD 4224, Arsano 01TX, Puto Times 8191, Whiskey Riffs Lounge, Torch with Tam, Verucci by Fredo, and more. By the way, Verucci by Fredo, he's traditionally fragrances. He has I think it's rum-infused soft box press Maduro Toro for $12 right now.
Send us a box.
We might check that out. It sounds interesting. Yeah, Fredo, send us a box or just two cigars. We'll smoke them on the show. burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. But it's time for a break. We're going to do a break, and when we come back, we will do our tobacconist tip of the week. We are smoking the Red Anchor, Captain 5x50. More to come, including our final ranking, after this brief break. And now your tobacconist tip of the week with Angel Solorio.
And we're back. Tip of the week. Are you ready for the tip of the week?
Just the tip, ma'am.
All right. Nothing too super exciting. Just something I had to deal with again this weekend. I might have covered it earlier this year already. But cheap way to maintain your lighter, go to Dollar Tree or a dollar store. They have those cheap air cans for $1. Dude, if you go to the regular store like Walmart, they're like $10 a can. I'm like, what?
Oh, you mean like you spray out your electronics with?
Yeah.
Canned air?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Use that to spray your jets on your lighter.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
For a dollar.
Yeah, because you get, like, ash and dottle and shit in there.
Yeah.
And, go to Dollar Tree, because it's a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the canned air.
And, I mean, in physics, for most people who know physics, you know, these technically, as they're blowing out, they're actually sucking in, so they'll suck in that ash and that vortex. Yeah. So, it's just something that's going to happen. And it doesn't happen with that, because that one has a... What would you call it? Like a recessed internal jet, and it makes sure the crap doesn't really go in?
Yeah, I mean, I will say, don't get me wrong, it's still overpriced, but it's a really well-made lighter. It's got like a baffle over it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't be a bad idea to blow it out every once in a while anyway.
I don't know, but that is great tobacconist tip of the week, and it's time to move on to our topic of the week. We are smoking the Red Anchor, which was brought back from the grave. So we're going to talk about defunct cigar brands, okay. Right? So there are some cigar brands that have gone out of business, and if you want to sound like the coolest kid on the cigar block, you will learn and memorize some of these names so you can hold conversations in the lounge and prove your genius to everybody around you. Mm-hmm. And so I have got there's really three categories. Right, that I lumped these into. One is Cubans that went out of business because of the fucking revolution. That one is actually hard to peg because you have some brands that, like, I mean, it's the government. Now it's the new government. You're still there, and then eventually the state is like, "Yeah, fuck you. We're not doing this brand anymore." Does that count? If it was 10 years after the revolution, I don't know, right?
Right.
And then you have other Cuban brands that aren't really Cuban brands, like it's cigars made in Cuba, but they're not really Cuban brands. And then you have everybody else, like non-Cuban brands. So let's talk through some of them, and I'm sure you'll remember some of these. But famous Cubans, Belinda.
Yep.
Yeah, you remember? I'm sure you've seen these. Man, if you can find one of these on the collectibles market, they sell for a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But Belinda was a pre-revolution Cuban brand that went out of business. As well, you had Cabañas. They were in business from 1797 to 1962, mm-hmm. when the communist government said, "Yeah, fuck you. You're not a brand anymore." Another pre-revolution Cuban brand that went out of business was Cuatro Golpes. You might remember, that might ring a bell.
Four hits.
How about Cuba Industrial?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Cuba Industrial was a decent-sized player. Don Juan, that one's kind of famous. Right, and I keep seeing Don Juan pop up on different cigar labels, and there's tons of Don somethings, you know, Don Julio, Don Amici. No wait, that was an actor, but Don Juan. And then y'all have probably all heard of this one, La Aroma de Cuba.
Yeah,
right. So that was an actual Cuban brand. And now it is a resurrected non-Cuban brand, right? But that's a great name for a Cuban cigar,
mm-hmm.
right? And kind of silly when you're a Dominican cigar, that's right. But we won't go there. How about some other Cubans, right? Let's see. So Cifuentes. You remember Cifuentes?
Yes.
Yeah, Cifuentes. They went out of business. Quispert.
Don't know that
one. So now we're talking about, you know, like, these didn't originate in Cuba, right? Quispert is a French company, obviously. High-end cigars. Davidoff. So Davidoff made cigars in Cuba up until 92, I think.
Yeah, we covered this. It was a while back, yeah.
But way, you know, way into the, you know, this is way past the revolution.
Revolution, yeah.
You know. Dunhill. So if you're not familiar with Dunhill, that is a premium tobacco brand out of England.
Mm-hmm.
They still make great cigarettes if you're into cigarettes. But they used to make cigars in Cuba. And I think they do still make cigars. They're not available in the U.S.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. And they're not made in Cuba. I think they do. La Corona. That was a lower-end brand.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were around until the 90s as well. And I think San Luis Rey was a Cuban brand up until 97.
And like then late it came 90s. Back. And it's back, sort of.
San Luis Rey is back, I know, as a non-Cuban brand, SLR. They're a lower price tier.
Yeah.
I think Dominican.
Yeah, you'll see them. You'll notice them by the black cardboard box, silver.
I don't think San Luis Rey is a Cuban brand anymore.
No, it's not. Like I said, you'll find it on the shelves.
Yeah. So that's kind of the Cuban brands. And some of those, like Belinda, Cuatro Golpes, Cifuentes, like I have a little bit of a fond memory.
Uh-huh.
Not really memory, because I wasn't in Cuba smoking them. But, you know, they're like known anti-collectibles. What about non-Cubans? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, here's one. La Palina. Now, you can find them on the shelf.
Yep.
But they actually went out of business in 1926 and were resurrected. The brand was resurrected in 2010.
Yeah.
So, similar to Red Anchor, where, man, it's not a 250-year-old brand because it's been dead for 100 years.
Yeah.
right? Not centuries, like the website said.
So, right.
But not a continuous brand.
It hasn't gained much traction, honestly, since it came back, to be honest on that one.
La Palina?
Yeah.
No, they do have some good sticks, though, but they're not, you know...
They're not pushing.
They're mid-shelf, yeah. We'll say, mid-lower shelf. Are they Honduras? Is La Palina Honduras?
I believe so. Honestly, I believe so.
I think they're made in Honduras. Yeah. I can't remember.
Their sticks, they don't really stick out to me, honestly.
I'm trying to think of a... There was one that was kind of special, and I can't remember. La Palina something. Maybe an anniversary special or something. Can't remember. Their Rosado was pretty good. They had a Rosado that was okay.
I don't remember. Like I said, I really don't remember. I smoked them, I just don't remember them.
Thompson's. So, in the 2000s, 20-teens, mm-hmm. Thompson had a lot of house brands.
Yeah, they did.
Sold the shit out of them. They were good. They had one called, was it Don something? Don, not Don
Julio. Almost like Don Juan as well.
Yeah, it was similar to Don Juan. It was really good. Well, they sold the Swisher in 1985.
Yeah.
Thompson's. I'm getting ahead of myself. Thompson's sold in 2019 to Swisher. No, Scandinavian Tobacco.
Yeah.
STG.
Yep.
And Thompson's is still used as the name of the website, mm-hmm. and they had this, such a fucking killer business.
Oh, yeah.
STG didn't want to mess with it. Go to Thompson's.com. But the original Thompson sticks are not available anymore.
No. Dude, they were peak in 2015.
2015, yeah.
That was Thompson's year, man. The amount of deals, you could easily get 100 sticks for under $50 of anything. Yeah, Thompson's
is
shit.
I remember getting cigars on par quality with like Rocky Patel.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For $3.
Yep.
From Thompson in 2015.
And you gotta, now,
Rockies were only $6 or $7.
I was gonna say then,
but
to compare $3 then probably your highest price cigar was $9.
Yeah, yeah.
Something not like your that. Highest, but your
yeah
top shelf. What yeah. is $15 today?
Yeah. Baron, they sold the Swisher in 1985.
Okay. Which is STG.
Yeah, promptly got squished. And then, of course, the big one. The big one that you all should know if you're a cigar nerd, Nat Sherman.
Okay, I was like, damn,
Nat fucking Sherman. So, you know, there's different places for cigars that are centers of culture. Of course, you have Cuba. You have Tampa,
mm-hmm.
you have Miami. And by the way, the Miami cigar scene and the Tampa cigar scene are not the same. They have their own unique
flavor. They're different. Flavor. Absolutely
different. You have Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You have California.
Mm-hmm.
And you had New York. Now, you also have, you know, overseas. You have Hong Kong, Singapore. There's some places that are huge cigar meccas.
Dubai,
sure. Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, what's that... Mid-European, mainland Europe place, God. Geneva.
Geneva, Switzerland. Yeah,
Geneva.
Total fucking
metal. Like, what? Geneva? Yes, Geneva is a...
But Nat Sherman defined sort of the confluence of New York attitude and style.
It's a bullshit band test.
With a band test. Way to fucking time the band test.
Sorry.
Angel. But, you know, New York has a certain swagger, a certain attitude, like,
mm-hmm.
and like that, you know, dress to the nines, old money, whatever.
Which thing. Is what Nat Sherman was.
Yes. They,
and if you think Great Gatsby, that's...
Great Gatsby meets cigars, kaboom, yeah. Nat Sherman. And man, when I was learning about cigars, there were so many folks, like Nat Sherman was the pinnacle of,
yeah.
you want to spend good money on a good cigar
mm-hmm.
and feel like a fucking big man.
Yeah.
That is the cigar.
Yeah, when I entered the cigar scene in 2011, that's what I was told.
Yep. And they got bought and immediately murdered. I mean, within like 2 years, I think. So, shout out to Herklotz. Now, we've talked about this on the show before, but Michael Herklotz rescued the blends, at least, and kept the dream alive with Ferry Otego.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a lot of, warmth towards Michael and the whole project, because Nat Sherman deserves to live on.
Yeah.
And shout out to Ferry Otego. Those are some defunct cigar brands.
Yeah.
And if you can think of one that we didn't bring up that you know, rings your bell or whatever, burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Join the conversation. And we will read that on the air. But for now, it's time for our second break. When we come back, we will do our cigar news of the week. Keep your dial locked in to Burnline Podcast. Mirapfel.
So they released a statement. I'm not going to dissect it. I'm just going to pretty much... What they're pretty much saying is like, hey, it was a good relationship with Arturo Fuentes. You may not know that they cut ties, you know, that camera relationship they had. So I know it hits you kind of hard. So sorry about that.
All right, so I got thoughts.
Yeah.
No, you can finish.
Do you want to share them, though?
Well, so first of all, if this is your first time joining, you might not know this, but we do have an episode where we talk about Cameroon and Cameroon rappers. I encourage you to look that up. Since the Mirapfel really resurrected Cameroon tobacco as the premier wrapper leaf in the world, honestly, although Ecuadorian wrapper leaves are pretty damn fucking good. But anyway, Fuente was close partners with them and had, you know, basically first rights, for lack of a better term, to the tobacco coming out of Cameroon. What really struck me as interesting about the statement the Mirapfel's released is it really sounded like it wasn't their choice. Because they said, you know, while we're sorry to see this, blah, 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 blah. It's like, wait a minute. If you're like, hey, we, you know, the relationship reached maturity, it's the end of the road, you know, necessary endings, all of that stuff. I feel like the statement would have sounded more like, we, you know, we're so grateful to have partnered with Fuente for all these years and look forward to new things to come and all that. And instead, it just had this tone of like, oh my gosh, we are so sorry that this happened, right? And it really made them sound like they're on the receiving end of something. I might be reading too much into that, but it'll be interesting because, man, Fuente has a lot of Cameroon wrapped cigars. Some of them are really amazing, and some of them are shockingly affordable. And man, I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to get my Hemingways, you know? So we will see. Time will tell.
It almost sounds like Arturo Fuente finally perfected the Cameroon for themselves.
Maybe. Oh, you think so?
I mean, why else would they?
Well, because a Cameroon wrapper from Cameroon tastes like nothing else.
I know, but
an Ecuadorian Cameroon is not a Cameroon.
I don't know, but I think that's what it sounds like. They wanted to grow their own, maybe.
I have no idea. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't want to dissect this too much.
I'm not going to speculate, but I will say the tone of what they wrote was sounded like they're a victim, not
right.
This is our choice, or even it was mutual. It doesn't even feel that way.
Right. So I don't know. Time will tell. We don't know. Obviously, insiders know, and if we do know, unless we get told, hey, go ahead and say something.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it at that. Speaking of Mirapfel, you probably smoked this one. Mirapfel is shipping their second iteration of the their Liberté Limitada.
Yeah, I did have the first one.
Mm-hmm. They have two so far.
Yep.
The other one was 2024 or 23-ish.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the one.
And that was a PCA release.
Yep. Because
so.
I usually get all of the PCAs because I want to support the PCA.
Mm-hmm. So the Liberté, this one is going to be a 6x50 Toro. Obviously, a camera wrapper, clearly. Undisclosed binder and filler, okay. So, do they grow their own binder and fillers as well, right?
You know, the research that I did on Cameroon tobacco indicated that a lot of their tobacco growing is similar to Ecuador, where they harvest rapper leaves on purpose through staged harvesting.
Yeah.
Whether they grow binder and filler or use some of the leaves for that, I don't know.
Yeah. So, are you ready for the Johnny Myers price?
Yeah, go ahead. Lay it on me.
All right, so first, this is going to be a box of, no, actually, scratch that, not a box. 1,226 sticks are being released. That is it.
1,226 sticks.
Not boxes.
Are those all coming to the U.S.?
I don't know, but these are being released, okay? 124.50 in the U.S. a piece.
Yeah, that is a Johnny Midas price tag for sure.
Okay, but that's not secondary, because I bet you most of these are going to be available on the secondary.
For double that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, good luck. If you're getting a primary, you know some people.
Set up your Google alerts now.
Yeah. 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 So,
$125. Yeah. Jesus.
But the boxes are packaged in a 2-count, like wood coffins. Mm-hmm. So, there's like no actual boxes like we're used to, so it's 2 counts. But like I said, once they hit the secondary, I guess, pretty dead sure they're going to be like...
Dude, I want a 2-count box with the box.
You're going to pull your strings.
250. I'm going to pull some strings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to.
Yeah, so they were 120 each last time, mm-hmm. so $5 more. Same 6x50 Vitola.
I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say like 200 because prices have gone up so dramatically.
Yeah. I mean, since like straight from them, $5 increase, that's not terrible. But like I said, that secondary is going to murder your wallet.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not my wallet.
Yeah, not your wallet. So, but, which is interesting, by the way, I think, but... It's interesting that they're going to donate any, like, profits to PCA and CAA.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Obviously.
And that's why I bought the last one. It's like, I don't mind overpaying for a stick because the overpay is going to fucking lawyers.
Right.
Keep places like this open. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. So, speaking of, like, old companies and all that, Jason Newman is going to be shipping the Angel Cuesta Shade.
Ooh.
So, I believe that was also released in... They did, like, a soft launch last year at TAA.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it was one box. Fall. It was, like, a 1 or 2 box launch.
Yeah.
And you can only get it there.
Yeah.
So, was that in the Bahamas? Yeah, that was in the Bahamas, right?
Yeah.
Fucking bougie-ass shit.
So, yes, so... Newman is one of those interesting cigar companies where, like, their portfolio is way too big.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen all their facings anywhere.
I have not. No,
like, nobody in the same place. Like, yeah, in the same place.
I don't even know. Maybe CI.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But they do have some good stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
So, same thing, Nick, because it's the exclusives, you know. Nicaraguan Shade, grown wrapper, undisclosed binder filler, which is normal. They'll tell you the wrapper, or they won't tell you shit at all.
Right.
And then that's it. Because they're super exclusive. So, obviously, rolled in Tampa. So,
El Reloj.
El Reloj. Yeah, so the Robusto is a 5.5x56 for $20 a stick. The Shade Toro is 6.25x52, so $21, another dollar. And then this one's, I actually want to find one of these. The Salomon is a 7.25x57 for $23 a stick.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that not hateful. So yeah. I'd totally
kind of typical for their American rolled cigars. Yeah. They do carry a premium. Labor's more expensive here.
Yeah.
You know.
Alright.
I think worth it. Yeah. Buy American.
Yep. Yeah. Alright. And semi political, but this is kind of important. I kind of sent this to you. So Dunbarton, and this is straight from Steve Saka, so this is not rumors or anything.
Oh yeah.
So this is important, and this is not trying to throw political shade.
Okay, so can you read it?
Yeah, I'll read it, and then I'll let you...
Before you read it, let me tell folks what's going on.
Yeah, because I don't want it to make it sound like we're being biased.
So, California just passed a law outlawing flavored tobacco products, but if you are selling non-flavored tobacco products, you have to register those products with the state at hundreds of dollars, I think it's $200 cost per Vitola, per product line, every individual SKU that you sell. And here's where it gets completely fucked up. Not only do you have to pay $200 per SKU to register yourself on their list if a retailer is carrying one of your sticks that is not on the list. You as the manufacturer get dinged. And I think that's a few thousand dollars per stick. And what's to say that the list doesn't get lost or mutilated or hacked or anything else, right? There's nothing to prevent the state from completely abusing this and just sending you a bill. And then what do? Fight it in court? Right. No, you're wrong. I'm really on the list. It is so asinine. I'll just go out and say it. Whoever came up with this law in California, you're fucking smoking crack and you're way outside the bounds of the Constitution. Go fuck yourself.
Yep.
So that's not, maybe that's me being biased or whatever, but it's I happen to like things like freedom and commerce and whatever. And for these jack wagons in California, you know what? I'm going to do that to your fucking avocados and shit.
Yeah.
Right? In the state of Maryland. Nope. You have to register every fucking pesticide free. Right? You got to come register each SKU. How about fuck you?
Yeah.
All right. So read Sacco's statement.
Yeah, I will read
Now the statement. That you know the political climate in California, if you actually want to do business
there. Yeah. All right. And I quote too. Quote Steve Sacco himself. This is not made up. Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust is choosing not to register our handmade poodles for sale in the state of California per the recently enacted regulations. There are a variety of reasons. Annoying costs and unreasonable application process. There, him quoting them, you will bend the knee, unquote, attitude. But the biggest reason is I refuse to establish any legal, corporate, or tax nexus with the state of California. Their government is punitive, unreasonable, and litigious against business in general. Being in tobacco, it is far worse. We're also removing their, in my opinion, factually incorrect Prop 65 warning labels from all future boxes. As of January 1st, 2026, Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust handcrafted cigars will become illegal contraband goods in the state of California. Our in-state purveyors have been notified. I understand most companies of any reasonable size are likely to comply. That is their prerogative, and I don't fault them for doing so. However, Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust and I choose to abide by my principles over commercial concerns. All right, and speaking of Dumbarton, they're releasing the Mi Querida in Gorilla Gordo, so a bigger Vitola.
Nice.
Which, like, Mi Querida has now become, like, their flagship.
Mi Querida is, like, yeah, it's its own brand.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's going to be a 6x60 Gordo. So a Connecticut broadleaf wrapper covering Nicaraguan binder and filler. You know, so it's going to be cool shit. And I think he's only asking $14. Yeah, $15 for such a big ass thing.
Super affordable. Mi Querida is well priced. But the thing is, like, it's flavorful and delicious, like everything Sacco makes. But it does punch like a Nicaraguan cigar.
Right.
And with a broadleaf wrapper. And, man, that just seems like it would knock me in my ass. You know, I don't like... I'm not a strong cigar guy.
Yeah, but...
Speaking of which... Oh, I'm sorry. Are you done with the news?
I got one left. Sorry.
All right, go ahead.
This one's important because it kind of irks me just to hear. And we kind of talked about it. So, Oliva is launching their CeraVe Milano Edición Año 2025 at Inner Tabac. But it's literally the same... They're literally saying... This year's version is a 5x54 Robusto that uses the same blame as Siri, blah, 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 blah.
Ecuadorian it's the same
blah. Blend. It's the same fucking blend.
It's just a special Vitola that they charge more for. Yeah, we talked about it. Like, Oliva's needs to get their shit together a little bit, but that's just our opinion.
Yeah, and I dude, Siri G, good. Siri V, good. But it's like, dude, it's the same fucking stick.
Like, the you just change the... Siri-O Cameron is really good.
Yeah. But it's
or the Siri G camera.
Yeah, which, by the way, they get from Miracle as well.
Which they get from Miracle.
But it's like, dude, make a new fucking cigar. Like, fuck.
Well, speaking of new cigars, we are smoking the Red Anchor Captain 5x50. And I was going to mention, my strength has gone up, and there's this little tingle back here. I think there's a lot more nicotine in this than it feels like.
I feel the same. Not the same as you. Honestly, it didn't pick up in strength for mine.
I'm at a 6, I think.
5.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Well, before we go ahead and rank this cigar and wrap up the show, why don't we give some final tasting notes? So, I will say a couple of additions. One, the pepper flavor is very, very faint, but it coats the palate. So now that I'm in the final third, as I breathe in and out, my entire palate and tongue is coated with this light pepper flavor, which is interesting. Two, there's just a little bit of unenjoyable harshness on the cigar, but it doesn't at all taste like unaged tobacco or that harshness that comes from burning off ammonia and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's just the nature of the tobacco they're using, and it's, I think, related to this pepper coating,
okay,
where it can't get the other flavors through without dragging that with it.
Yeah.
But just a touch of bitter has crept in, and with that pepper coating, it creates this slightly harsh experience, yeah, on the palate and back of the throat, which, you know, is not thrilling me. It's not bad. It's nothing where I'm like, I wouldn't smoke this again. But it is noticeable, especially since the first half of the cigar was so mellow sweet. Predominant notes are like sweet hay, sweet tobacco, cedar. And then I made this note while I was smoking the pre-show cigar, and I think I picked it up again. There's a little bit in the middle, there's a little bit of a drop-off. But when you first light it up, and then it's starting to pick back up again, like a little cherry note.
Hmm. The actual cherry or the cherry wood?
No, like an actual cherry, but not like fucking, you know, cherry flavoring.
Right.
Like an actual cherry.
Not Pepto cherry.
Yeah, not Pepto cherry.
Slushy cherry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not 7-Eleven cherry. Yeah. So, where are you at for flavor?
I honestly only have two. That pepper completely died off for me.
Okay.
Like I said, the strength's a 5. I have a hardwood component to mine, kind of like a mahogany, not an oak, like a mahogany-ish.
Hmm.
And then this other sweet component, probably like sweet hay, but not really sweet hay. So that's what I got right now for two notes. Like, I am completely opposite of what you got going on, which is interesting.
Yeah, well, this one's very similar to my pre-show smokes, plural.
Yeah.
Except the pepper experience is different on this one. Right?
Yeah.
Now, you're also, you've got your 2C premium coffee and a water. I am liquid free. Maybe that changes.
Yeah, but I really haven't sipped on either or, though.
Could be. I know I had sparkling water, the last ones that I smoked.
Okay.
And that can cleanse the palate.
I was going to say, really clean the shit out of you.
Yeah, that would maybe get rid of some of the pepper coating. And so, why don't we get into ranking? And, of course, we start with presentation. And, of course, I posted the box for everyone to see. I love the presentation. Now, inside, I love the shape of the box, mm-hmm, which is kind of unique. You know, inside of the box, you just have your standard double layer of cigars.
Yeah.
Right, so here's the inside of it, and it's just really well done. And the outside, you have your, you know, seal right here,
yep,
quality seal. Your this is like a sticker. Mm-hmm. On the front, it's not painted on, and it has texture to it. I mean, I'm really like an 8. Like, this is...
Yeah. I like the red and the cream.
Yeah, this is top notch, I think.
May I see the inside of the box over?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, help yourself. So I'm kind of at an 8. What, you can look over that if you want.
Yeah.
Now, the cigar itself is beautiful. I'm a little disenchanted with the cello. It detracts from the cigar. It does have the barcode on there for the retailer. Well done.
Yeah.
But I think a solid 8.
Yeah. I want to give it a 9. Have you touched the inside? They like purposely textured this.
Yeah, it's a sticker and it's textured. You want to give it a 9?
Yeah, I want to give it. That's cool as shit.
Okay. All right.
I like the presentation.
So that brings us to construction, and we typically start with a perfect score and take points off. Mm-hmm. For construction. The only point I might take off of this one is the draw was a little stiff. Now, I like an authoritative draw, right? That's my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like if I think the draw is a little too hard, then it probably is, because I like a stiffer draw anyway. Everything else, I mean, not a fucking flaw in the wrapper. Burned fine, stayed lit even while I'm talking. You know, it's not perfect. You can see where you're...
I think that was me.
I mean, it could have been, but a little bit of lack of adhesion with the wrapper. Any commentary on construction?
I want to give it a 10.
10? Okay.
I actually enjoyed the draw, even though I'm not a hard draw person.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. It could be on purpose. But I, you know, if you're used to smoking Gordos, this is going to annoy the fuck out of you. Because, you know, with a Gordo, you just, like, sit there and the smoke goes into your mouth.
Right.
You know. That brings us to price or value. $20 for 5x50 is steep.
Yeah.
And they did position this as a super premium.
Yeah.
However, we haven't talked about flavor and experience yet.
Right.
We're going to get there. However, one of the ways that I assess value is what else can I buy for
$20? I can buy two things for $20.
Well, for starters, for less than $20, I can buy a Hemingway. I can buy a Hemingway Oscuro Signature. I can buy several Plasencias.
Mm-hmm.
I can buy several Padrones.
Several Rockies.
I can buy some high-end Rockies.
Foundations.
Foundations.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, at $20, you're competing with La Creme de la Creme.
Yeah.
And you're even competing with, like, a lot of Davidoffs.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of Davidoffs in the $17 to $21 range. And I just... I don't think they got the pricing right.
Yeah.
I think it's a good cigar. It's unique. I think five, which is average of the, you know, middle of the road, I think I would probably... So for a cigar this size, in the industry, the average price is 13.
Mm-hmm.
That's the break-even. That would be a five. For me, I would even if they sold it for like 15, I'd probably give it a five.
Mm-hmm.
For 20, it is just overpriced. And it's a fine cigar, but... It really reminds me of Cohiba or Davidoff, where it's overpriced for what you get.
Not only that, it's also unknown.
It's also unknown, right? Yeah. So
okay, yes, it's two guys, and yes, it's technically a Davidoff, but it's unknown.
Well, and even in the cigar community, like, you know, I've smoked all around the U.S., right? Illinois, South Carolina, Texas, Minnesota, Florida. You know what nobody had ever heard of in any of those states?
Mm-hmm.
Two guys.
Yeah.
Right? Or United Cigars, for that matter.
We're not shitting on them.
It's just a fact. It is what it is. And you're not going to gain a lot of market exposure if you've got something sitting on the shelf and I'm like, oh, I'm going to pass up my favorite Padron or my favorite Plasencia for this. So, I've got a 3 for price.
I agree. 3 all the way. Since there's other shit on the shelf that I know... But I'm like, okay, I'll spend my money on that. But.
Well, the truth is, for we're in a retail shop, $9, $8.50,
mm-hmm.
a fucking Fuente Rothschild, which, by the way, has a Cameron wrapper.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same, it's just about the same amount of tobacco, and it's a better cigar.
Mm-hmm.
I can buy two of those. So, I think they missed the boat on the pricing here. I know they're trying to position it a certain way, and I understand that, but... It's overpriced.
They might price themselves out on that one.
I think so. So that brings us to flavor. And we said it has a unique flavor. I do like the cigar.
I do. I agree.
And I like the fact that it definitely tastes like a luxury cigar where it's kind of smooth and mild and sweet. Reminds me of a Davidoff. Like, if you put a Davidoff label on this, I would be like, yeah, that hits. Yeah.
By the way, I meant simple.
Yeah, simple. I think that's fair. Like... The flavor just, there wasn't enough and it didn't change enough. I think it is simple and as such is right in line with a lot of luxury cigars.
Mm-hmm.
Where they do that shit on purpose, right? Having said that, is it the kind of flavor that grips me where I'll buy another one? I don't think so.
And not for that price.
Definitely not for that price. It's a great... Like, everybody should smoke this once. I think it's a really good cigar that is kind of unique. Like, it doesn't smoke like a lot of other sticks. But, I don't know. 6 for flavor?
Yeah, 6-7-ish. Yeah.
Why don't we do 6.5? Combine that with a half point from number 1. Because we were both a point off on those two, so... And that brings us to experience. So, what's kind of cool about this cigar is, like, opening it up, enjoying the artwork of the box and the cigar itself, which is beautiful, and smoking it is really good. That part's really good. Way too expensive to do anything with except smoke it. Yeah. So you already limited your use case. On the flip side, nobody knows what it is, and it's not nice enough to gift. And you don't, you know, gift somebody a cigar that's wrapped in cello with a barcode on it.
Right.
Right? That's just not, you know, fitting for a wedding, or you got promoted to CEO or something like that. You might just give it to somebody.
Here, try like
a cigar buddy gift, but, you know, not a nice occasion gift. So I do think it's limited. I do think you want to pay attention to it and shit at this price point. It's probably a lounge stick. Mm-hmm. This is probably a smoke with other people, dissect it.
Dude, talk it's about too it. Expensive to do anything with it.
Well, so I was thinking, would I smoke this on my back porch? Yes, and yeah. I did, in preparation for the show.
But I'm just saying, other than that setting and this setting, probably not. I'm not doing anything
it's
else.
It's a you smoke it cigar. It's for smoking. You're not doing anything else. And I'm also, I would be a little skeptical about pairing it with different stuff at the price point. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, last thing you want to do is break out, you know, some whiskey or something where it doesn't go. Yes. And then you wrecked your palate and you wasted $20.
Yeah, and since we're talking about experience, like, take $5 off of this and I would probably revisit this in a month.
Yeah, probably.
But
that's also 25%. That's a big cut.
I know, but if that's where they started at.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
At $20, maybe within the next few months, not.
Yeah, yeah. So,
30 days.
You know, good experience, but also missing some stuff, some capabilities. I think I'm at a 7.
7, yeah. 6, 7.
6 or 7. We'll do 7.
Okay.
So that brings the total score for the Red Anchor Captain 5x50 to 35. So solid mid-30s showing. To wrap up, I'll just say, you know, if you're a cigar person and you like experimenting, I would recommend that you go pick one up. They're available for sale online. Good luck finding them anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's theirs, so.
Well, I know they have a distribution arm. I've just never seen these anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I've got buddies in, like, 10 states that run cigar shops. Asked all of them. They're like, no, I don't have one to send you. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where they sell them, but you can get them online. And I would try it because it's really cool and unique. It's just you're going to probably smoke it once. And you'll think that was a good cigar. Or you might think, fuck you, Burnline Podcast. You caused me to waste $20. What is wrong with you?
Wasn't even us.
Hey, you know what? That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us on Burnline Podcast. We will see you again next week.